All right, so Steve Wynn is here, and let's move on to the Baseball Project.
Great.
Great album. Frozen Ropes and Dying Quails came out, when did this come out, in June, early June?
Came out in, I think, early July.
Oh, July, so yeah, it's still very new.
Very new record, yeah, only a couple weeks old.
I guess I've been anticipating it for so long, I guess.
And I think you had it here at FMU for a little while before.
Oh, maybe, okay.
Before
okay.
The release, but it actually officially came out the week of the All-Star Game. That was kind of the goal for the record.
Oh, there you
for
go.
A baseball record, we had to have some kind of baseball tie-in.
And, This is really great, I have to say. It's you and Linda Pittman, Scott McCoy, and Peter Buck. You want to briefly run down the genesis of this project?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's really, I'm having so much fun. You know, we had fun making it, fun writing it, and now we're having fun promoting it. It's just such a different kind of record. I'd known Scott here and there. It's almost identical, the story with Chris Ekman, because we had friends in common, traveled the same roads, but I didn't know him that well. I've known Peter very well for a long time, and...
Yeah, well, the Dream Syndicate had done some touring with REM, right? In the early days, right?
Yeah, 84, we did a 2-month tour together. And from that point on, Peter and I just hit it off, and we stayed in touch over the years. And Scott and Peter, of course, play together all the time. I mean, they've got the REM, the Minus Five, Tuatara, Robin Hitchcock.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, they do a lot of stuff together. So, you know, everyone's got their link to somebody else on here, and those guys know Linda as well. And we went to the REM Hall of Fame and induction party last year here in New York, about a year ago. Linda and I went there. And that was the first time I really talked to Scott at length. And we, you know, it was good food and a lot of drinking and a lot of hanging out. And somewhere around 2 in the morning, I'm sort of leaning up against the wall with Scott, and we started talking about baseball. And each of us had the same reaction, like, I didn't know you were a baseball fan. And we're both very big full-on geeky baseball fans, you know, memorizing batting, you know, champions from 50 years ago and stuff like that.
Right.
And we talked about baseball, and it turned out both of us had the idea for a while to make a record about baseball. I'd been thinking about it for about 5 or 6 years, and Scott had as well. So we decided, let's do it together. Let's do a... and once we knew we were going to do it together, we just started cranking out the songs. We wrote, I think, from that point, started writing them just weekly, like, you know, a few songs a week. Got together in Portland... on the 1 week we all had free at the same time.
Not via email.
Actually got together in Portland where Scott lives and where Peter lives part of the time, and finished writing it and knocked it out very quickly. And I think we just really did it just because we wanted to do this record. It was one of those records, and really this is kind of the best motivation sometimes for making a record. We did it because it was a fun idea.
Right.
We got a kick out of it. We didn't know if anyone would put it out. We didn't know if we just would press a few hundred copies and sell it on our websites, whatever.
Oh, what's his thing? Book Records is.
What's that? Oh, like the
Minus Fives, like they pressed up their tour thing, and he has the Sonics thing. He does his little vanity
things, right?
Things.
and this probably could have been that sort of thing, but once we finished it, Yep Rock Records got a hold of the tapes and loved it, and said, we want to do this, and we want to put it out right away. So we kind of had to really hustle and get it mixed and get it mastered, and it came out probably, you know, just a few months after we'd finished it.
Wow. Yeah, and I know they've put out at least 3 of the Minus Five albums.
Right,
Yep Rock.
Yeah.
And I know they've done very well with that. The Wilco one is one of their...
Down with Wilco.
Down with Wilco. That's one of their top sellers, I think.
They put it out, and the response has been great to this. It's one of those things where, I'll tell you, I mean, I'd been thinking about doing a record about baseball for years. I thought it'd be really interesting to do a record where the songs, when I had thought about it first, would be a song where each song was about a particular player and sort of a metaphor for something else that that player represented.
It could be like a batting order, right?
You know, it could be a batting order, exactly. It'd be like 9 songs, a little chintzy.
you'd have to do one about each position, though. So.
Each position, exactly, right. And then a relief pitcher and maybe a first base coach song and then a mascot song. And before you know, right. You know, color commentator, you know, you can get out of control.
First base coach.
There aren't a lot of first base coach songs. Yeah. There aren't even a lot of baseball songs, to be honest, you know. But it was the type of thing where I couldn't believe no one had ever done this. I mean, there aren't that many baseball songs.
Right, there's one-off songs here and there,
yeah.
But not like a whole album.
Definitely not a whole album, and not even many one-off songs with rock bands.
Right, well, let's see, Bob Dylan, Catfish.
Catfish, right, that's a great one.
The Hoodoo Gurus have one, Where's That Hit? I don't know if you know that one.
Oh, that's right, that is a good one.
It
that's
has
right.
the Take Me Out to the Ball Game
that's right.
intro.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think of some other ones.
Well, one of my favorites, and kind of probably maybe known to a lot of your listeners is Barbara Manning's song.
Oh, yeah.
She did an EP about baseball, including the great song Doc Ellis, which she wrote about. For those of you who don't know, Doc Ellis was a pitcher, well, for the Yankees, but at the time of this incident, he was on the Pittsburgh Pirates. He pitched a no-hitter on acid. He didn't know he was pitching that day, and you know, as pitchers will often do on the day they're not pitching, he took some LSD because you know it's what you do when you're not pitching. It's just a normal thing, and he got a little confused.
Well, back then, you know,
that day he threw a no-hitter, and she wrote a great song about pretty much the way I've always heard the song was written from inside his head while it was happening.
Wow,
and so anyway, so Scott and I wrote a handful of baseball songs and put this record together, and it's been. Well, for one thing, we were on the David Letterman show about a month ago, and it was, you know, it's my first time. Scott and Peter, it's old hat. Those guys are done. But Linda and I had never been on before, and I went, man, if I would have known it to get on this show, I had to write songs about baseball, I would have done this years ago.
Yeah. that's funny. I know, it's funny, Steve, that you still return my calls. I mean, you've been on David Letterman. You've been on stage at Madison Square Garden.
Well, you know, thank you, Peter. Maybe in both cases. And even more so, you know, those two things were very nice. But I have to say, the most exciting thing that's happened yet with this record is we were on This Week in Baseball.
Oh, nice.
And that, to me, being a, you know, growing up as a baseball fan, watching that show every week as a kid.
Right.
To be on This Week in Baseball and get the full-on, you know, how about that treatment on? Yeah, that was pretty exciting.
Did you play any songs, or were you guys separate, or was it together? Like, what was the segment?
We actually were interviewed and then played. Linda Scott and I played a song, one of the songs together, kind of acoustic version. And then you know, for the show has a segment always at the end called "How About That," which is a
tribute
montage.
To,
the biggest plays of the week or something like that. And it's been part of the show forever. And for that week, "How About That" was the first song in the record, "Pastime," with a video montage of all the people we talk about in the song.
Oh, nice.
And like I say, as a kid, you know, someone who grew up as a baseball fan, that was hot.
That's great. That's great. Now, had you since you were thinking of this baseball concept album, did you ever have any individual songs that you thought maybe could fit on one of your records? Like, did you ever try any baseball? Did you do any writing about that? Or you didn't want to write it till you had the concept down?
Exactly. I didn't. I knew a little bit I wanted to write. I knew I wanted to write about a few players in particular. Sandy Koufax was one, and Kurt Flood was another. But I didn't think in terms of writing a one-off baseball song for any of my records. It just didn't occur to me. It seemed like it'd be Kevin. I think it would be, not that you couldn't do that, not that, again, right, Bob Dylan didn't do it, and Warren Zevon did it with a song called Bill Lee.
Right.
So it has been done, but it seemed like it would be odd to be singing about whatever it is I sing about. Cossacks, I guess, you know,
and to throw in
a song by Sandy Koufax. Wait a second.
Right.
So I'm glad I waited to put it all together on here. And both Scott and I had there's a Young Fresh Fellows song about Gorman Thomas.
Right.
So that's they had a baseball song. And I've dropped Mickey Mantle and Stan Musial's name, Kerosene Man. And,
right.
And I think there was another one. I think Ryan Sandberg got a mention on a Danny and Dusty record. So there were little bits here and there, but.
Right, not a
like
whole
this.
Song.
Not
right,
like
right,
yeah.
right, not like this. Had you had the Dream Syndicate ever played with the Young Fresh Fellows? Had you ever done any touring with them? Or
not at all. It's really funny because we were around the same time.
Yeah, that's what
in the same kind of circuit. Really, you know, popular in Spain. You know, weird, all kinds of things like that, and just never crossed. Part of the reason was being in L.A. Seattle seems like it would be close. The same ocean. We're both hanging out, you know, in Pacific Ocean, but it was way up there. It's
right.
Like, well, I could either go up to this sort of remote little, you know, North Woods mountain area, or just head out east and go back to New York. So we would really typically always get on the I-10 and go east rather than go up north.
Right, because I guess in the early 80s, Seattle wasn't a regular tour stop.
Strangely enough, it wasn't. Of course, it became such a big, and they always had a great scene there, you know, but it really wasn't the music scene that it is now.
Right,
back then.
Right. Okay, so let's want to play a song from the... from the album here?
Yeah, it'd be great.
Well, we can't play number two, but...
you can't, right? You know something?
Something Williams.
It's funny, right? It's Ted Bleeping Williams, you can figure it out, which is a reference to a story in Ball 4, the book Jim Bouton wrote.
Right.
Where Ted Williams would go up at batting practice, and every swing of the bat at batting practice would be preceded by, I'm Ted Bleeping Williams, not bleeping, of course,
right.
And I'm the best hitter... I'm the best bleeping hitter in the history of baseball. Jesus H. Christ himself couldn't get me out. This was his mantra to get into the game.
Right.
Anyway, you won't hear that song right now, but that's one of the songs.
And there are no references to his head being cut off and frozen. Right?
Volume 2. That's on Volume 2.
But that's right. This says Volume 1, Frozen Rope. So is there plans for Volume 2?
Absolutely. We want to keep this going. We really had such a good time making it, and there are really endless stories in baseball that could be turned into songs. And in fact, for this record, the idea we had originally was to invite a lot of other musician baseball fans, like Ira Kaplan, like Craig Finn, who's a big baseball fan, Joe Pernice,
right,
really big baseball fan.
Well, he has the song Manny Ramirez.
He has, exactly. Right.
Or it's not called Manny Ramirez.
He has Moonshot Manny,
but it's about him.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are the three of those guys right there, and also Robert Fisher from Willard Grant, Barbara Manning, Stephen Malkmus, are all like the big baseball fans. And we want to have contributions from all these people, but we kind of got on a little head of steam and wrote all the songs before we could get anybody else involved. So
right.
I think in future volumes, we might kind of reach out to other baseball fans.
Now, since this album's been out, have people said, hey, how come you didn't invite us on this? Any people sort of...
No, well, all the people I mentioned, we did actually invite.
Oh,
and
okay.
All of them,
and then blew them off.
And Yeah, that's one way of putting it, Joe. they all were interested, and we just, really, every one of the people I just mentioned said, that sounds great, let me get back to you. And before we got back to them, we made the record. But I know that the opening song, Name Drop, the opening song, Pastime, Name Drops Yola Tango, and Ira has given it his blessing. So I'm very happy about that.
So let's hear that one out.
Great, that's great.
This was written by Scott, right?
Scott wrote this one.
All right, so here's the Baseball Project, WF.